هو نصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعض فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين. In the last session we were discussing the fourth, the most central ayah, Surah Al-Fatiha. Besides, in the analysis, especially according to that Hadith Al-Qudsi, this is the most important and the central ayah Suratul Fatiha. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. It's an agreement, it's a covenant between Abd and Rabb, between Allah and a Muslim or Mu'min. I was going to give you a Persian couplet from Shaykh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, which is very famous, about this concept of bandagi. I was telling you, bandagi and prastish, two things taken together. Now the complete concept of ibadah comes. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And Shaykh Sadi has beautifully expressed this. زِندَگِ آمَدْ بَرَائِ بَندَگِ. زِندَگِ بے بَندَگِ شَرْمِنْدَگِ. We have given this life for bandagi, for obedience, for ibadah. To behave as bondsmen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are not doing it, it's all sharmindagi. We will have to feel sorry on the day of judgment. We didn't fulfill the purpose of our life. And let me mention here, you will find in the Quran, repeated many a times, what was the call of all the prophets of Allah? All the prophets, all the messengers of Allah. One word. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُم مِنِ اللَّهِمْ غَيْرُ. Worship Allah, obey Allah. You don't have any law except Him. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Worship Allah. Obey Him and obey me because I am His representative. So this is the central ayah. And that is why the wording of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that Hadith Qudsi, they are هَذَا مَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. But because in this very ayah there is ista'anah also. My bondsman is seeking my help. He is requesting me to help him. I am granted. وَلِ عَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. I gave to my servant, to my bondsman, what he has requested for. Now these two things, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, they give the concept of tawheed, practical tawheed. There are two aspects of tawheed. Theoretical, which we can call tawheed fil aqidah, tawheed in dogma. And now practical tawheed. Worship him and him alone. This is tawheed fil ibadah. You must have remembered the last ayah of Surah Al-Kahf. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whosoever is hoping to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Lord, he should do good deeds. And he shouldn't make or commit any shirk in ibadah. Tawheed fil ibadah. Only thee we worship and only thee we obey. What does it mean? We obey others also. But this obedience has to be under the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we obey anyone independent of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we are obeying someone in something which entails disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have made him equal to Allah. This is shirk. For example, as I told you, I gave the example, it's the time for salah. The call from Allah has come to you. The call from Muazzin is actually the call from Allah. Hayy ala salah, hayy ala salah. Who is calling? Apparently the Muazzin is calling. Actually the call is from Allah. But your nafs says, no, keep on sleeping. Two commands are coming to you. You are disobeying Allah, obeying your nafs. So you are now a bondsman of your nafs, not of Allah. You have made your nafs equal to, rather more than Allah. That is why Quran says at two places, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen that person who has made his God, his own wishes, the lust, hawa. Hawa is the lust of this nafs, hawa-e nafs. He is saying, La ilaha illallah. When he is making his nafs his ilah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. You are obeying your nafs in a matter which entails disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in the same way, shirk fil mahabba, shirk in love. My nafs says, take this. I love this wealth. It is coming. I can get it. The Sharia says it is haram for you, forbidden. You can't take. Not permissible. I set aside the command of the Sharia. I am obeying my nafs. What is it? لا تعطى لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. This is the shirk. The Prophet said, تعيس عبد الدينار وعبد الدرهم. Woe to the abd of dinar and dirham. He is the abd. Maybe his name is Abdullah. Maybe his name is Abdul Rahman. He is not Abdullah. He is not Abdul Rahman. He is Abdul Dinar. Abdul Dirham. These are the sayings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now you come to the top. Allah says, I am Hakim. Inil hukmu illa lillah. Lam yakul lahu sharikun fil mulk. I have no partner in ruling. I am the ruler. I am the sovereign. I say, no, I am the sovereign. That was the claim of Fir'aun. That was the claim of Namrud. And that is the claim of all the people today. Popular sovereignty. Sovereignty of the people. The biggest shirk of this day is the concept of human sovereignty. Sovereignty belongs to him and him alone. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ أَمَرَ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا لَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. He is الْمَلِكُ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. And you claim sovereignty for yourselves. You are claiming to be equal to Allah. So this is the practical shirk and the negation of this practical shirk. Then there is shirk with dua. Praying to someone else. Come to my help. O Falan. Ya Ali. Madad. Help me, O Ali. Who is Ali? You have made him God. لا تدعو مع الله أحدا. Don't call anybody except Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ حَسْن. We seek only your help and we shall keep on seeking help from you only. This is the promise that we are making. Now these are the words. إِسْتِعَانَةَ. To seek the help. إِسْتِعَاذَةَ. To seek the refuge. To seek the protection. تَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek the protection of Allah only. Only He can protect you. Istighasa. Seek redress. of your difficulties or ailments. Only from Allah. None else. If you call anybody else, you have made him equal to Allah. لا تدعو مع الله أحدا. Call him only. Seek help from him only. Make istighatha to him only. These two things taken together, this is actually tawheed-e-amali, the practical aspect of tawheed. And today actually, this aspect of tawheed has become more important than the dogmatic aspect of tawheed. That is why you must have heard a famous saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a khutbah. Wahhidullah, fa'inna tawheed ra'su ta'at. Increase, go more forward in tawheed. More and more and more and more. Tawheed, bab tafheed. Gradually, be more and more muwahhid. Eradicate all forms of shirk from your life. Love of everything under the love of Allah, below the love of Allah. Obedience to anybody, below the obedience to Allah. The rule that was given and enunciated by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, لَا تَعْتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There can be no obedience to any of the creatures which entails disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can obey your parents, if it doesn't mean disobedience to Allah. You can obey your teacher, your leader, but within the limits of the Sharia. Absolute obedience for Allah only. Absolute love for Allah only. All other loves come under His love. All other obediences under His obedience. This is Tawheed Amali, and that has been given in this fourth ayah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Now we come to the last part of this surah. Again the same thing. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is complete sentence. Sirat al-nazina anamta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. These are subordinate clauses to this principal clause. One sentence continues from ihdina till dhalin. One sentence. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the right path. Or lead us on the right path, I will discuss it later. The path of those whom you blessed, on whom you bestowed your grace, who were not, who didn't incur your wrath, your anger, and who didn't go astray. So this who and who, they are explaining the same. Anamta alayhim. So actually the sentence is one. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Now we fix our gaze on ayah number 5. اهدنا. This is a request. Hidayah means guidance. Here again I am astonished to find the translation, show us the right path. Guidance, hidayah is a very profound word of Arabic language. Only showing, it doesn't convey the full sense. Show us, guide us, take us on the right path, lead us on the right path. And oh Allah, you accompany us to the final goal. If somebody is asking you some address, one thing is that you tell him you go 2 miles, then turn right, so many lights, and then take left, and you are telling everything. The other is you accompany him. Okay, come. I'll take you to that destination. This is the final stage of hidayah. Ihdina. It includes all the stages of hidayah. Not only show us, lead us. Accompany us to that final goal. Alhamdulillah illazi hadana lihaza wa ma kunna linahtadi alawla an hadanullah. It will be the psalm of the people of Jannah, of paradise. When we will enter paradise, they will say, Alhamdulillah, all praise and all gratitude is for Allah, who led us here. Hadana lehaza. Who has brought us here. Wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadanallah. We couldn't reach here. We couldn't come here unless he had taken us to this place. So actually hidayah has many stages. But soul is very limited. Guide us, it can give some sense. And I would prefer lead us. And I would say lead us on the right path. Why? Very important. Because the people who have reached a certain level of guidance, already they have achieved. When they say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they have the Iman Billah. When they are themselves saying Maliki Yawmiddin, they believe in the hereafter. They are already on Hida. They need not be shown the Hidayah. They are on the Hidayah. That is why in the first part of Surah Al-Baqarah, the wordings are, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the people on guidance. They are already on the path of guidance, the right path. What they now need is continuous practical guidance, leaders. Because, you know, we are finding crossroads coming. Maybe we take a wrong turn. We are on the right path. But every now and then we are finding, we feel lost. There are so many roads coming and going. We might take a wrong turn. Lead us on the right path. Keep us on the right path. We are already on the right path. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Are these people without guidance? People who have attained to this position, who have had their tawheed with them, who know Allah, who know that He is the Rabbul Alameen, who know that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, who know that He is Maliki Yawm al-Din, who have made a firm resolve and a firm covenant with Him, Iyaka Na'budu. They are on Huda. But now they need continuous guidance, practical guidance on every step. Lest we should be lost. Lest we should turn in some wrong direction. So that is the sense. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqeem. The straight path. Now I want to explain a little more the stages of guidance. First of all, what I term the theoretical guidance. And here you may use the word philosophical guidance. To have the correct worldview, to have the correct ideology, to have the correct Weltanschauung is a term of German philosophy. The worldview. What do you think about yourself? What do you think about this universe? What do you think about life? What do you think about knowledge? What do you think about good and evil? What do you think about human beings? Are they only animals? Or something else? Basically something else? Qualitatively something different? Or only quantitatively at a little higher plane of evolution? These are the basic questions of philosophy. Now to have the right answers to all these questions. That's the first stage. This we call theoretical or philosophical guidance. For this, as we have discussed, the basic faculty is there in the human nature, inbuilt in it. Who was Luqman? Who was Warqa bin Nawfal? Who was Salman Farsi? Were they prophets? Were they followers of any prophets? No. They followed their nature. Unpolluted, unperverted, unimpaired human nature. Fitra. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Fa'abawahu yuhammedanihi aw yumajisanihi aw yumassiranihi. As I quoted and translated in the yesterday's session. Fitratullahi lati fatranna sa'alaya. This guidance is there inbuilt in human nature. But to add to its depth, to make it a conviction, Wahi and prophets and the books of Allah, the light that comes from hope from Him, they add to it. They add to its intensity, its depth. Number three, some of the details regarding this basic theoretical guidance cannot be had without the prophets. The guidance coming through angels, that we can't know without the prophets, without wahi. This resurrection, the details, all human beings will be resurrected. They will have to stand before their Lord on the Day of Judgment. Then there will be some weighing of the deeds. Then there will be, but this will be passed. Judgments will be given. And what will be the details of the paradise? What are the details of the hell? All these things we can have only, not through our nature. These details we can have only through the prophets, through the wahi, through the revelation. So this is the first part, theoretical or philosophical. This guidance, the sum total of this guidance we call iman. Now comes the practical guidance. This can also be subdivided into two parts. Guidance at the individual level. What is good, what is evil. This is also present in the human nature. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. This human nafs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala developed it, finished it, gave it the finishing touches, beautified it, and then He put in it the knowledge of the good and the evil. That is there. That is why the Prophet ﷺ used to say to some of the queries, "Istafti qalbak," you ask your own heart. Your heart would tell you whether to go this way or that way. Istafti qalbak. And in some of the hadith, there is an additional wording, "Walau aftaka al-mufti." Although the mufti might give you a verdict that it's okay, but the real mufti is in your heart. Ask him. He will lead you to the right decision. And let me mention here, Kant, because I have been mentioning him, is the father of modern Western philosophy. A very beautiful sentence of his. There are two proofs of the existence of God. The starry heavens above and the moral law within. This moral law, everybody finds within him that he knows what is right, what is wrong. He knows what is good, what is evil. This moral law, it exists within the human personality. It's an integral part of our nature. But as we have seen, sometimes emotions can overtake a person. And even with the best intentions, he can become unbalanced. Because man, sometimes he is under some influence. As I told you, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As used to stand whole the night, throughout the night, not sleeping, not giving his wife any company, any time, keeping fast every day, standing in salah all the night. The Prophet, you know, rebuked him. Ya Abdullah, awala ukhbar, annaka taqoomu al-layl, wa tasoomu al-nahar. Qala bala ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, la tafal. Fa inna li nafsika alayka haqqan, wa inna li zawjika alayka haqqan, wa inna li zawrika alayka haqqan. You have to fulfill all the rights in a balanced way. Don't tilt in one direction. So out of sheer sincerity and good intentions also, a person can go wrong. Hence the need for a model, which we discussed in detail when we were discussing Ayatul Birr. The model we can get from Nabi. The balanced person. He led a full family life. He gave all the wives their due. Their wives fulfilled them. This time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, used to happen that the Prophet was with us, conversing with each other, with affection, with love, just as a wife and a husband. But when the sound of azan came, he used to go instantaneously leave us, as if he didn't know us who we are. This is the balance. Now it is called from Allah, I have to leave. So actually this balance, I feel personally, is the biggest miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To be so balanced. He led a full life, fulfilling all the conflicting lights. So that is the need at personal level also. Although the knowledge of good and bad is inherent in the nature. But to be able to balance all these things, you need the guidance of the Prophet. And now come to the second part of the practical guidance. I discussed it last night also. And that is the social order, the political system, the law, the family laws, the economic system, the system of distribution of wealth. It is here that man commits mistake. And here a very small mistake, he produces grave results. A balanced system of life, based on fair play, justice, no repression, no exploitation. There should be freedom, but within the limits of the Sharia. No repression of man by man, but sovereignty of Allah to be accepted. Man shouldn't govern man. Man shouldn't rule man. Kunu ibadallahi ikhwana. Beautiful words of the Prophet. Oh human beings, all of you should become bondsmen to Allah and brother to each other. He is the master, he is the Lord, he is the sovereign. You become bondsmen to him, all of you, and brothers to each other. Kunu ibadallahi ikhwana. Brothers to each other, equal in every respect. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا لأسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى. No Arab has any superiority over non-Arab. No non-Arab has any superiority over any Arab. No white or red colored person has any superiority over the black. No black has any superiority over the white. إلا بالتقوى. Except character. Your seerah, your taqwa, how God conscious you are, how God fearing you are, how good mannered you are, and that is the, in the criterion, that's the criterion in the eyes of Allah. So actually the social system, the political system, the economic system particularly, that is the dire need of humanity to have a balanced social system based on justice. Just social order. And please note here, this is the aspect in which the deen of Allah has been completed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman was already complete. Was there any shortcoming in Iman of Ibrahim? Number two, personal character. That was already all the goods, all the values in personal character had reached their zenith in the lives of different prophets. Can there be any position of sabr more than Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam? Just imagine. Can there be any level higher of suhud than Jesus, Isa? Different values, different moral values had reached its zenith in the lives and seerahs of different prophets. To give yourself up, can there be any position higher than Hazrat Ismail? To offer, Ya abat ifal ma tumar, satajaduni inshaAllah min as-sabirin. Oh father, go ahead with what you have been commanded. I'm ready to be sacrificed. Tasleem. Sare tasleem kham hai jo mizaj yaar mein aaye. Can there be any higher position? So actually all moral values, had already reached their zenith, their climax, in the seerahs and personalities of different messengers and prophets of Allah. What happened with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All joined together in the most balanced way. That's the beauty of the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two, actually, deen became complete. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam alayna. This deen has now become complete. The system of life, the system of social justice, the political socio-economic system, every aspect of which is based on justice and fair play. This is an organic whole, and this has been completed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I have discussed these four levels of hidayah. Number one, theoretical or philosophical. The outcome is iman. For that, the basic requirement is present in the nature, human nature. But through wahi, through prophethood, through messengerhood, through the books, its depth increases and we get details of certain things, which we couldn't know without wahi, without prophethood, without books of Allah. But then practical guidance, at personal level, what is evil, what is good, man knows by his nature. But here also there is a pitfall. You might become unbalanced. You might go to extremes, ifrat or tafreet. Here you need a balanced model. That balanced model can be given by the prophets only. But you know the real guidance that the Book of Allah, Quran, has given to humanity is regarding the collective system, the social system, the political, socio-economic system. And that is the most difficult thing, as I discussed last night. Balance between man and woman. Rights of women, rights of man. Balance between the individual freedom and the authority of state or society. Balance between capital and labor. Most serious questions. Most difficult questions. Most tricky questions. You tilt to one side, you know the system is absolutely disrupted. It becomes exploitative, repressive. You tilt to other side, some other form of disaster that comes and haunts man. What's the history of man? For the last at least 300 years. Nearly about 300 years ago, there was monarchy, kingship, and feudalism everywhere in the world. East, West, Europe, Asia, everywhere. Feudals, feudal lords, and over the feudals, the king. Then there was a movement towards democracy. And who are they to rule us? All humans are equal. So the revolution, the French Revolution, and the evolution in England, Cromwell and so on. What happened? They were rid of one evil, but now capitalism. Before there was the feudal lord, now it is the capitalist. The owner of the mill is controlling thousands of people. He is taking the cream. He is becoming wealthier and wealthier. And the laborer, the fate of the laborer, everybody knows. Then there was again a revolt. Again an evolution. Communism. What happened? Now a party became the dictator. Dictatorship of a party. You lose your freedom of expression. This is actually, to the right and to the left, humanity is going, oscillating, in search of a just social order. And that just social order is Deenul Haqq. The deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made complete on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the highest level of the guidance. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now this thing is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that you must understand this Sirat-e-Mustaqim, in another two ways also, positive as well as negative. صراط الذين انعمت عليهم. Lead us, O Allah, on the straight path, the path of those whom you blessed, with whom you were pleased. Who are they? We find it in ayah number 69 of Surah An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Those who obey Allah, keep on obeying Allah and His Messenger, they will get the company of whom? Company of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His grace. And there are four groups. To start from above, the Anbiya, Nabiyeen, Minan Nabiyeen, the Prophets. Next to Prophets, Siddiqeen. Next to the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada. And next to them, and that's the baseline, Wasaliheen. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. These are the four cadres of mun'am alayhim, people on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His grace. Definitely, it's very easy to understand, on the top must be the Anbiya, highest people, whom wahi came, whom Allah chose for wahi, with whom some of them Allah directly had a dialogue. كلم الله موسى تكليما. They are at the top. Siddiqeen. And here let me use the word again, the Luqmans. People with the pure nature and straight intellect who had reached that level of consciousness. And these people, whenever the call of a Nabi came to their ears, they responded instantaneously. They accepted without any hesitation. These are Siddiqeen, the good-natured people, whose nature was Saleem, Fitrat-e Saleema, Aql-e Saleem. This is the third category. I described them. There are certain people who have some rust on their hearts, but it's not very deep. And there are some people who are not philosophical-minded, who are active, running about, going here and there, talkative. They like to be in company of the people. These people generally don't think about the ultimate realities of this universe. They are busy in this world. So they take some time. They don't pay any heed to the call of the Anbiya for quite a long period. I gave you the example of Hazrat Hamza. What happened to him? He took 6 years to embrace Islam and to say the Kalma Shahada. 6 years. Although he loved Muhammad like anything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had so many relations. Uncle and nephew, number one. Then they were cousins also. Then they had been suckled by the same slave girl. So they were brothers. In Arab, if you are brothers, if you have taken the milk of some woman, now you become a brother with her own sons or daughters. Then they were just of the same age. Playmates from the very beginning, from the childhood. Four relations between Hamza and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Still he took 6 years. How? Why? A hunter going away into the desert for days and days, maybe weeks. Again when he comes, then he again sets on journey. So he was not thinking about what Muhammad is saying. Suddenly it dawned upon him. One day, Abu Jahl insulted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam badly. And when Hamza was returning from his hunting, he had not entered his house. The maid servant, she told him that today Abu Jahl has insulted your nephew. Has he done it? Oh yes. Went straight to Abu Jahl. He was sitting with his colleagues and in the society. Have you said so? Have you done so? And he struck his head with his bow. Okay? I am a Muslim today. Come. I accept his message. Come and confront me if you can. That's the way he brought Islam. He accepted Islam. So these are shuhada. These are, in the terminology of modern psychology, extroverts. There are people who are introverts, thoughtful, thinking, peeping within their own hearts. They like to be alone somewhere, brooding. And on the other hand, there are people who are extroverts. They like company of people. They are active. They run about. They want to work. So these two types of persons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Those people who are thoughtful, they become siddiqeen. If the nature is correct, if the nature is pure, under the guidance of the nature, they are thinking about the ultimate realities of this existence, this universe, they become siddiqeen. But those who don't think, who are busy in running about, wrestling, for example, Hazrat Umar was a wrestler, quarreling with him and now with him, a wrestler. He never thought about what Muhammad is saying. Well, he has left the deen of our parents. Well, I'll fight him. And one day he decided to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, murder him. With a drawn sword he was going to kill him. But emotionally, somebody told him, your own sister has become a Muslim. Your brother-in-law has become a Muslim. You are going to kill Muhammad. First go and ask them. He turned there, went to Fatima bint Khattab, his own sister. And the husband, Sa'id ibn Zayd, son of that Zayd, the Luqman of Makkah, as I told you. And when he went there, a young disciple of the Prophet was there in the house, teaching them Surah Taha. It was revealed just at that time. Hazrat Khabbab bin al-Arq, perhaps, he was there in the house teaching him. When they thought and they learned that Umar had come, they hid him. He will kill him. But he bet his brother-in-law, bet his sister. She was bleeding, but she said one sentence, "Oh Umar, even if you kill us, we are not going to leave this place." And he was taken aback. What is it? What has changed her to this extent? She's ready to die. The steel in him melted. Now he said, okay, what were you reading? Tell me. No, you are impure. You are mushrik. You can't touch the leaves. This is the sacred book of Allah. Then he took a bath. Then he read Surah Taha. Then he became Muslim. But it took 6 years. But these extrovert type of people, they are more active. That is why when Umar and Hamza, when they embraced Islam, now they declared in Makkah, well, we shall worship Allah. And we shall worship Him in the very haram, in the courtyard. Nobody can stop us. Before this, the Muslims, you know, they used to pray secretly, not openly. This is the difference. Shuhada, they are more active, forceful. Then comes the third, you know, Salihin. So these are the four categories of Mun'am alayhim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage to become either from among the Siddiqeen or from Shuhada. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatiha, Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqeem. صراط الذین انعمت علیہم. وی آر کوالیفائنگ دیٹ صراط. واللہ وی مین بائی اسٹریٹ پاتھ دی پاتھ آف دوز, دی پاتھ آف دی انبیاء, دی پاتھ آف دی صدیقین, دی پاتھ آف دی شہداء, دی پاتھ آف دی صالحین, ہوم یو لائک, آن ہوم یو ہیو بین بیسٹوئنگ یور گریس, غیر المغضوب علیہم. دس از دی نیگیٹو سائڈ آف دیٹ کوالیفیکیشن. آن ہوم یور ریت ڈیڈنٹ کم, غضب, ریت, ریت آف اللہ, اینگر آف اللہ. And what of Walin, nor those who went astray. Now what's the meaning of these two things? Actually, the misguided or the wrongdoers can fall into two categories. Number one, who knows the right path, but willfully leaves it due to his bad intentions. I know this is correct, but I can't accept it because I want some bodily, some what we call some sensual gratification, some worldly wealth. I'm after that. Knowing the true path and then leaving it, this is the biggest crime in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category is, then again you can divide it into two. Either you are still searching for the right path, you have not reached it, but you are searching. You are sincere, seriously searching the right path. You are searching the truth. Let me give you the example of Buddha. Gautama Buddha. You know, he was a prince, going to be a king. At the age of 30, young wife, infant son, he left everything, left the palace, in search of the truth. What's the truth? I must know for myself. He had all the luxuries available to him, all the comfort of life available to him, all the interests fulfilled, nothing falling short. A prince, Siddhartha Gautama Buddha of Kapalvastu, but in search of knowledge, in search of truth. What led Hazrat A. Salman to migrate to Syria? Living in comfort, father was a priest, they used to worship fire. Said, oh, how come? We burn the fire, if we don't put wood in it, it won't burn. It will finish, extinguish. And then we stand before it with folded hands, we worship it. I'm not going to do it. He left the home, the heart, the country, went to Syria. What for? To make money? To earn dollars? What for? In search of truth. I must know the truth myself. So either one is still in the search of truth and right way, or he is mistaken. He goes astray despite his sincerity. He is mistaken. The example would be of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Was he standing for the whole night due to some bad intentions? No. Despite the total sincerity that he had, he was committing a mistake. The Prophet forbade him. This Christian monasticism. People leaving their homes, not marrying, keeping unmarried the whole life, passing their whole life in these monasteries. What for? Their intentions were not bad, but they were mistaken. So either by mistake they have gone astray, or they are still in search of the truth. This is a separate category, and they are the Dhalin. That is why this word appears in Surah Al-Duha for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى. We found you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in search of the truth. What was he doing in the cave of Hira? There is a hadith from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. فلما بلغ 40 سنة اس البخاری صحیح ابن امام بخاری رحمہ اللہ، حضرت عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ سیز ڈیفینیٹلی دی پروفٹ مسٹ ہیو ہمسیلف ٹولڈ ہر بیکاز ایٹ دیٹ ٹائم مے بی شی واز ناٹ اسٹل بورن سو اٹ واز بیکاز لیٹر محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ٹولڈ ہم ہاؤ وہی اسٹارٹڈ ٹو ہم کیسا کان بدا الوحی دیٹ دی ٹائٹل آف دی چیپٹر ان وچ دس حدیث ہیز بین انکلوڈیڈ لما بلغ 40 سنة when he neared the age of 40 he was near the age of 40 حبب إليه الخلاء now sitting alone away from the people خلوة خلوت which we call in Urdu solitude that became very dear to him he preferred to be alone so to say he became suddenly sort of introvert. Otherwise, he led a very full life till the age of 40, doing business, very active life. But suddenly, حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَىٰ فَكَانَ يَخْلُو بِغَارِ الْحِرَىٰ He used to stay there alone in غَارِ حِرَىٰ, in the cave of Hira, for many days together. And what did he do there? يَتَحَنَّسُ فِيهِ There he used to do some تحنس. What is that تحنس? The شارحین, the explainers of حدیث, they say, كان صفة تعبده في غار حراء التفكر والاعتبار. What was he doing here in the cave of Hira? He was thinking, brooding. What is this? What is happening? So that philosophical thirst, the urge, to know the ultimate reality of this existence. That was what he was doing in غار حراء. And then what he started coming. And this condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described with the word ضالًا. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ So this is the difference between مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ is a person or a group or an ummah or a nation or a community who has the truth, who knows the right path, who claims to be the custodian of the right path, and then it goes astray due to the sharara of nafs, due to the bad intentions, due to the worldly lusts, due to the love of power, love of money, love of wealth. They are doing it. They are going astray, not out of any mistake, not due to lack of knowledge. They know everything. And then they are going to the other direction. They are maghzoob alayhim. They have earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there can be persons who are still searching, sincerely searching. They are dhalin. Or there are persons who are mistaken, sincerely mistaken, who are under some wrong notion. They are also dhalin. And there is the consensus of the mufassireen that the example of maghzoob alayhim are the Jews, the Yahud, and the example of the Dhalin among the former Ummah are the Nasara. They committed their mistake, they took to monasticism, and that was not due to some bad intentions. They did it with the best of intentions, but it led to something wrong, absolutely wrong. So they are the Dhalin. And the Jews, the Yahud, who had the law, who claimed to be having the law, they actually are an example of مغضوب علیہم, but they are only examples. The meaning should be general. And maybe, don't get offended, maybe we are the مغضوب علیہم of this day. We have the law, the Sharia, the book. We claim to be Muslims. And what are we doing? Everybody knows. And that is why we are being punished like anything. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.